Here for the Lowe's early Black Friday deals? You're right on time for some of our biggest savings. We're talking up to 50% off select major appliances, plus up to an extra 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Holiday lights going up soon? Select ladders are up to 50% off right now. Get Black Friday prices without the Black Friday crowds. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 11/19. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Welcome to Vega's World. It's time to party. I'm your most excellent host, JC Vega. Thank you all for tuning in. Happy Gilmore 2 is on Netflix now. Fantastic Four, The First Steps, has arrived in theaters. Will it be a return to form for Marvel? We'll talk about that and a lot more. But up first, some sad news in the world of professional wrestling. Hulk Hogan passed away this past Thursday at 71 years old. They were calling it a massive cardiac arrest. He had been in the hospital a month ago for spinal surgery, and there were some complications after the fact, and, you know, he died Thursday morning. EMT showed up to his house along with other first responders. And the news is a mixed bag for me, if I'm going to be honest with you, because the persona Hulk Hogan, the character Hulk Hogan, was a childhood idol of mine. My uncle and his kids had a VHS tape of recorded pay-per-views. One VHS tape had SummerSlam 94. Razor Ramon versus Diesel for the Intercontinental Championship is one of the first matches I cognitively remember watching. On that tape, you know, that's the same show that had Bret Hart versus Owen Hart in the cage. That was awesome. But that same VHS tape, SummerSlam 94, the tail end of WrestleMania 7, and WrestleMania 8, up until the first 3 minutes of Sid Justice versus Hulk Hogan, they ran out of tape, so they didn't have the finish on it. And there's another tape on there that they had where the finish was on there, and it wasn't much to do about nothing, but, you know, it was one of my first memories, and, you know, he was someone I looked up to. You know, I was a big, big fan of the NWO. I, you know, used my uncle's weight belt as an air guitar and, like, wore his mesh workout gloves because, you know, looked similar to Hulk Hogan's. So, you know, that was a big part of my childhood. Now, I was a big Hulkamaniac. But as I got older and, you know, the advent of the internet, you learn things about your heroes that it's unfortunate. You know, his Gawker leak tape that came out, he said some disparaging things about, you know, black people and the man that might have been involved with his daughter at the time. And it was horrible. And years later, when he had a chance to say I'm sorry and apologize to people, he opted to go for the just make sure no cameras around, dude. You know, that's unfortunate. That sucks. And, you know, people as a whole are flawed. There's no perfect person. The last perfect person on this planet was nailed to a cross. And, you know, people are going to have their faults. And I can recognize both sides of the argument here. I see a lot of people, the news when it came out, you know, they were sending their condolences to Hulk Hogan, paying tribute to Hulk Hogan, and others were less than enthusiastic about celebrating the life of Hulk Hogan and, you know, showing their pleasure or just, you know, saying, hey, it doesn't matter that he's dead to me because of what he's done. And I can understand both sides of it. I really do. You know, and I also understand and have sympathy for the loved ones of Hulk Hogan, you know, his kids, his wife, close friends who lost someone who was very important in their life. And you also can't argue the fact that he was a box office phenomenon in professional wrestling. I mean, even beyond professional wrestling, he was a pop culture icon. You know, everyone knows who Hulk Hogan is. That Fu Manchu, the long hair, the bandana, dude, the what you gonna do, brother? That's, you know, everyone knows that. You don't have to be a wrestling fan to know Hulk Hogan. So, you know, he was big part of the 80s. A lot of, you know, Ozzy Osbourne passed away last week as well. That sucks too to find out. And Malcolm Jamal Warner, he passed away. He was on a trip in Costa Rica, I believe it was, but, you know, he got pulled through a tide and, you know, he died. That sucks. A lot of, you know, three 80s figures died in 1 week. That's horrible. You know, celebrity deaths come in threes, apparently, as I've been told, and it seems to be a weird trend that I've noticed and been in, you know, in scene, and it just sucks all around. But yeah, I can understand everyone's point of view on it. And like I said, it's a mixed bag for me because, again, the childhood memories that I had of being a Hulk Hogan fan, I can appreciate the character, but I can also recognize that the man might not necessarily have been the best when it comes to his character integrity. You know, that's not for me to judge in a sense, too, because there's only one person who can judge, and, you know, the big man in the sky, if you believe in that sort of thing. But, yeah, it's weird, tough news to hear. It's just strange because, you know, Hulk Hogan's been around, and, again, he's one of the biggest icons of the sport. You know, he headlined the first 9 WrestleManias. He had he was huge in the 80s. In the late 90s, he had a career resurgence as Hollywood Hulk Hogan and member of the NWO. And he turned that WCW around, you know, with that angle and being like the figurehead in that. So that's tough. But, you know, also rest in peace to Malcolm Jamal Warner. That sucks. Rest in peace to Ozzy Osbourne. It's tough news all around. Happy Gilmore 2. After 20 years, we have a sequel that I don't remember anyone asking for. And it was meh, you know? Like, I watched it. It wasn't necessarily bad. It wasn't the worst of the recent Adam Sandler movies I've watched. You know, but then again, I don't know. That's the thing with Adam Sandler. Like, you either like his films or you don't. Or for me, maybe it was a lot more palatable in the 90s when that his shtick was fresh. And, like, most of his movies now are just like, hey, what's a unique vacation opportunity we can have? And we can kind of shoot a movie around it. Well, me and my family go to the beach, you know, that sort of thing, which this really wasn't a destination movie in a sense where, you know, they're going to go somewhere on vacation. But some of the jokes, most of the jokes were like, okay, we're doing that. That's not really that funny. Others were retreads of jokes from the original movie that weren't necessarily that funny. They had some of the jokes got chuckles out of me. But for the most part, you know, it was what it was. It was longer than the original movie, too. I think, like, the first movie was 90 minutes long, and this one was a little longer than that. MJF was in this movie as one of Adam Sandler's kids. You know, for what he had to do, he was pretty good. The guy who plays Carl Gallagher, whose name escapes me at this moment, he was in it as well. I was going to say he was not playing a psychopath, but he's Happy Gilmore's kid, so he is kind of a psychopath. So, you know, it is what it is. I should look up his name, but, you know who I'm talking about if you've watched Shameless. Love that show. But, yeah, you know, movie itself, it's a meh. And if you're an Adam Sandler fan, you're probably going to enjoy it. If you're not an Adam Sandler fan, you will not find this movie funny. You probably won't even bother watching it. I was skeptical. I decided to watch it out of curiosity because I did like Happy Gilmore as a kid when I watched it on TV. You know, the fight with Bob Barker was hilarious. The price was wrong, Bob. And, you know, he craps him like the Undertaker and chokes him. It's just, that was funny. But, you know, we didn't get a whole lot of that. You know, got tribute to Carl Weathers in this, in a sense, and another actor. But, you know, it's mostly the checklist of, hey, I'm Adam Sandler's friends with a lot of celebrities, and they're here. Isn't that cool, guys? So, you know, that movie was what it was. And some unfortunate news, not less unfortunate than the beginning of the show, Resident Alien, starring Alan Tudyk, is being canceled after 4 seasons. It is currently in the middle of its 4th season. The season finale is set to air August 8th, I believe. But yeah, they're pulling the plug on it. And that sucks because I really like the show. I found it on Netflix, I think about over a year ago, and binged watched it through like a day. The first 2 seasons. Then like I had season 3, I need it. And then found it on Peacock, so I watched it there. And, you know, with these things, it's funny. It's popular in every sense of the word. You know, a lot of the metrics, streaming services, that proves it's a commodity. But, you know, I guess the network doesn't like it. But then sci-fi always seems to cancel shows after like 4 or 5 seasons because, you know, after a while, budgets rise with longer show last. And, you know, I guess allegedly, presumably, they don't like paying people. So, you know, that could be a factor in it. And are they, you know, while they did get popularity on streaming services and there are people talking about it, it just didn't get the metrics on television. that they would have wanted, but I don't know, man. Cable television, this is just a dying medium in a sense. I mean, like, some of the highest rated shows nowadays are like 2.3s, which, like, back in the day would have been like, that's cancelable right there. But, you know, with the advent of streaming and all that, it's a whole different world. But if you haven't watched Resident Alien, you should watch it. It's so funny, man. So fun. Of course, like I said, it's about an alien in disguise who's come to Earth. He's seemingly devious and has nefarious plans. Or does he? Or does he have a change of heart? But, like, it's so funny, man. You should check it out if you haven't. From Resident Alien to the Alien franchise, Alien Earth is set to come out August 12th on FX and Hulu. And I gotta say, I am intrigued. It's a prequel to the Alien film, obviously. It's alluding to the fact that we're gonna have an alien on Earth, and that's how the Weyland-Yutani Corporation, I'm sure, discovers the xenomorphs. And the trailer, you know, teases the fact that the first android has been created, because it's not human, it's not a robot. What is it? They also alluded to the fact that there's 5 alien species from distant planets on a ship that crashed to Earth. So I'm very intrigued. Noah Hawley, he was the showrunner for the show Legion. That was also on FX. That was a X-Men show. That was really good. And so I'm sure this is in good hands. Ridley Scott is an executive producer. You know, I'm hoping that there's not going to be any Prometheus inclusions, but given the fact that he's an executive producer and he has this weird ownership of the franchise that he didn't even create, he was just the director of the first film, you know, and the fact that we kind of saw a proto-xenomorph at the end of the trailer for Alien Earth, I think it's reminiscent of the Deacon from Prometheus. We're probably going to get some Prometheus frickin' tie-ins, man, and I'm just going to hate every second of that, but I hope it's, you know, slightly touched on, and then we move on from that, because I don't like it, man. I'm tired of him. I'm tired of Ridley Scott, you know. He's taken this over, this possession of this franchise, and I've hated every single second of it. I've explained that in a previous episode. Go find it, my beef with Zack Snyder and Ridley Scott, if you want to hear those. But it looks interesting, though, and I'm Noah Hawley, I trust. And some other fun news. We've got the official trailer for Predator Badlands, and I'm really intrigued for that because, you know, it's going to be a movie centered around the Predator as the main protagonist, not the antagonist of the film, finally. And there's going to be zero humans involved in this film. There's going to be no human characters, Dan Trachtenberg said. He was at Comic-Con, a panel hosted by Kevin Smith, which is interesting because, you know, they were on a podcast together years ago before Dan Trachtenberg became a world-famous director. It's a fun note, but the trailer looks really cool. We get the Predator, to the Yautja, as they're called in the lore, speaks in the trailer. They've got an official language now. I mean, you know, they spoke English in like a couple of the movies. You know, they don't really understand. They seem to kind of understand what they're saying, but not really. But we got the first true language of the Yautja in this trailer, which looked really cool. Elle Fanning as an android intrigues me. And the fact that, like, her dynamic with this Predator looks so, you know, it's going to be the odd couple. You know, one kind of speaks, but in his own language. The other one's an android. When I watched it the first time, it felt like a demented sci-fi lone wolf and cub dynamic going on, in a sense. You know, the fact that, like, he's wearing her as a backpack as he walks through this, like, jungle or this open terrain, this alien terrain. I don't know how to describe it, but like, you know, this foreign land, you know, it just looks so odd and hilarious. I mean, it's going to be seems really awesome. The action looks really good. The Predator design, I don't mind it because it's a young blood. It's a younger Predator, not like, it's not as old as the ones we've come to know and love. So that'll be really cool. I can't wait for that. That comes out November 7th. You know, Dan Trachtenberg, He did phenomenal work with Prey, and Predator Killer of Killers was also pretty damn good. Another thing that interests me about this, though, this panel, they talked about, there's a new scene, a brief little Easter egg that was added to the end of it now, where they make it canon that Dutch and Danny Glover's character in Predator 2 are among the people that the Predators have collected and put in, like, cryosleep, you know, because they show the lead actress from Prey. I can't remember her name, the character name at this moment in time. That's bad. I mean, I should know this if I'm going to talk about it right. But, you know, they show her character, the Frozen, at the end of Killer of Killers. So now that's been added in. That's really cool. So it shows that Dutch is still around, and there's a potential for Arnold Schwarzenegger to return to the franchise. You know, he was in Predator Hunting Grounds, the video game, on, you know, PlayStation 5 or 4 and all those platforms. He had, like, a backstory on that. But this is going to be... This could lead to the potential for him being back in future installments, which would be pretty cool. I think that'd be pretty neat to see old man Dutch still running around fighting predators. You know, hey, I'm all for it. Naru, that's her name. God, it finally came to me now. So that's pretty cool. Can't wait for that. The trailer looks awesome. Go check that out if you haven't. But now, for the main event, Fantastic Four First Steps. A lot was in the air about this film. You know, we haven't had a quality Fantastic Four movie ever, if we're going to be honest. You know, the first one was so-so, I guess. Second one, not so much. I mean, they made Galactus a freaking cloud, for Christ's sake. The Josh Trank version of Fantastic Four was meddled with studio interference and changes and things that he didn't necessarily like. And, you know, he basically had a meltdown in the weeks leading up to the release of that film. And fans were wanting a well-made Fantastic Four film. And, you know, this film, it's not an origin story. It's established in the opening minutes that they have been around for 4 years. And the way they did it, too, what I thought was really cool. This isn't really a spoiler, but, like, they treated it as if it was, like, a TV special, like a news report about, like, the history of the Fantastic Four and how they came to be. You know, they gave us that so we can get that out of the way. It's not an origin story. They're well-established. I had my reservations of Pedro Pascal being Mr. Fantastic because I just didn't see it. And he's oversaturated at this point. I mean, think, like, this month alone, he was in, like, 4 other movies that were in theaters. He's competing against himself. It's like, that dude is everywhere. And, like, he was on The Last of Us 2. Spoiler alert, if you haven't watched that, know anything about that. But, you know, he was fine. He brought an interesting dichotomy to the character with being, like, he's not necessarily smug. He's confident, but he's also caring, but he's very pragmatic in his approach with the world and how he treats people. Vanessa Kirby, you know, was pretty good as Sue Storm. I didn't feel like she had a whole lot to do. I mean, I know she gives a fantastic monologue at some point in the film. I'm not going to give you the backstory on that one, but, you know, there was that. So that was an emotional weight, and, you know, she had a monologue that Curry's favor. Her dynamic with Pedro Pascal as Sue Storm and Reed Richards, you know, was fine, I say. Joseph Quinn, who played the Human Torch, Johnny Storm, who was also Eddie in Stranger Things, I think he's probably one of the best Johnny Storms we've had. You know, I mean, it's a low bar, I know. I mean, Chris Evans was the original, or if you want to be technical, there was one in 94, but that never got released. But, you know, he was pretty good. I loved the accurate, more comic book accurate thing in this film. You know, the designs and the design in the original one, the original Fox Universe Fantastic Four did not look that great. I didn't mind the approach for him in the Josh Trank Fantastic Four film. You know, I get it. They were going for, like, a kind of more pseudo-realistic body horror type of look, and it kind of worked there, I guess. My only big pet peeve is that he didn't have the more rock sounding Brooklyn, New York, Italian accent. I feel like he should have had more of that, but he was fine. He did well in his role. They were fine as the side funny character. I mean, I can't really say they'd call them side characters because Johnny Storm isn't just like the womanizer comedic playboy. He has a big part of some of a plot line in the movie. Like, he contributes and figures something out that not even Reed or Sue does. They don't figure anything out on that front, and he does it himself. So that was cool. They give him something to do in that sense. They tease a love interest for the Thing in this film. You know, I mean, I forgot her name, but, you know, I know she was in previous iterations, and it's an integral part of his backstory in the Fantastic Four comics. They tease it a little bit. They didn't give a full blown romance, but so that was nice. I feel a lot of the emotional content of this film, though, was pretty surface level. We kind of scratched the surface. We get some decent character moments. You know, they were for what this movie was. It was well crafted, but I feel like you could have done a lot more. And I hope we get more of that in the future. I understand that there are reports of like test screenings that were supposedly bad, and there were reshoots. But there's always reshoots in films, and it was restructured. That's allegedly. You know, I don't know. It could be some bad faith grifters out there creating things, but as a whole, this movie did keep me intrigued from beginning to end. It was a tightly woven ride. It all felt like a breeze. It didn't feel like it was dragged down by anything. Again, there were some decent character moments, some nice entry points, I'll say, for them as characters and in the Marvel Universe as a whole. Like, similar to what I said about Superman when it came out. So that was pretty solid. I will say it's one of the better Marvel movies in the last couple of years. So it's well within its right to be a return to form in a sense, and hopefully a step in the right direction for the MCU as a whole. Avengers Doomsday is next up on the slate for films to be released. Side note, Kevin Feige has said that Blade is still in the process of pre-production. They're still developing the Blade movie. Mahershala Ali is still signed on to play Blade. I'll believe it when I frickin' see it. Like, I'm getting annoyed at this point with that. But for the Fantastic Four first steps, it was fun. It was a fun ride. I wish there was a little bit more we got as far as overall character moments between them, but we got a good solid dynamic between the four of them, and the story flowed well. It was intriguing for what they did with the Fantastic Four and their first outing in the MCU. Solid. I'll give it a 7.5 out of 10 if I'm going to give it a rating on that front. So I think that about does it for this week. Not much else. This episode's coming a little late. Normally these come up on Fridays, but I had a lot going on and just a little bad weather too. So like it was good for me to try to record and hopefully not get struck. You know, lightning strikes close to the house and I lose this really expensive recording equipment that I recently acquired. But if you want to follow the show, Vegas World, you can go to Vegas World Pod on Instagram, Blue Sky, Twitter, and YouTube. I have a YouTube channel now up there right now, Superman Review. Go check that out. There's a Fantastic Four. There is a Street Fighter casting video as well, as there's also a 5 professional wrestling matches you should check out. Again, like, my channel or this podcast will not be about wrestling. Not going to have wrestling-centric episodes, but I, however, do watch a lot of wrestling, and I think this is kind of fun, you know, to give my thoughts on certain matches. It's not a best of or a critique of anything. It's just matches that I thought were cool that you should check out. But go check out Vegas World on YouTube. Like, subscribe there. Like and subscribe here. You know, help me in the algorithm so that way more people can find us. You can also email us at vegasworldpodcast@gmail.com for your recommendations, questions, or what have you. You can also follow me at TheJCVega on all social media platforms. Go to ProWrestlingTees.com to get yourself a Vegas World t-shirt or a JC Vega t-shirt. One says punk rock, the other says Rainbow Dash, and what's not to like on that front. The next time you hear us, Caden Green will be back in the studio, and we were watching Future Sport starring Dean Cain and Wesley Snipes. Yes, there is a film with Wesley Snipes and Dean Cain as co-stars. That'll be a lot of fun. Good night and party on.